So what did you make of Joe Brawley last night when he met Eamon Malley on UTV? Great programme. Joe Brawley is box office. He's the sort of guy that people always slightly turn up the volume whenever he speaks, but that doesn't necessarily mean they agree with everything he is saying. Eamon's with me in the studio. Good morning, Eamon.
Good morning, Frank.
You're enjoying this series. It's working very well.
Well, it's a bit different, and the characters are very interesting. Young Frampton was an absolute star. Mary Jones, I can't believe how popular Mary Jones, the playwright, is. People love that woman. I think it must be the twinkle in her eye and the sense of mischief which is written in her face. It's just extraordinary. Everywhere I go, people are talking about Mary Jones. And it's so wonderful, particularly because Northern Ireland is difficult. Now, as programme makers, we're very aware of the importance of the female and the contribution of the female in society. But Northern Ireland, there's a deficit of women on the global stage from Northern Ireland who have impacted. And to have somebody, a gift like Mary Jones, a few streets away from where we are here, and that story she told about going to Kuala Lumpur, and she was advised by the Irish ambassador that the royal family would be there. And at the intermission, she was taken into the green room and she was introduced to His Royal Highness and Her Royal Highness. And she was listening for a moment. She said, has she got a Belfast accent? Am I hearing things? So she said to her, from where do you come? And she said, Belfast. From where in Belfast? She said, Templemore Avenue. I come from Templemore Avenue. Where did you go to school? Orangefield. I went to Orangefield. What age are you? I'm the same age. You must be there when I was there. Then Her Royal Highness said, how did you become a playwright? Mary said, how did you become a princess? And what happened was, she went to train as a nurse in England and she met her prince, sir, and she ended up going back to live with her prince and became a princess. And there was the Princess of Templemore Avenue. What a great story. That just fell from her lips.
There's a play in that.
Honestly, fantastic, Frank. Fantastic. But Mary Jones has been, and young Frampton, he was so interesting, very articulate, a very thinking young man.
Totally. But let's go to another thinking young man, the third in the series. It went out last night. We've had reaction to all the programmes, but nothing matches the reaction to Brawley. One of the points that was made quite early this morning from a couple of texters was Joe Brawley's analysis of Dungiven, his hometown, where he said the town supported the Provost. People are emphasising Dungiven did not support the Provost. People within Dungiven supported the Provost. Part of the point that makes Joe either incredibly popular or loathed by others is his broad brush way of describing things. There's no ifs, buts, maybes and grey area with Joe. It's either all Joe or everyone else is all wrong.
Well, he's brilliantly articulate. I mean, and there's a fearless dimension to his utterance. He is a member of the Bar Library. He's a practitioner of law, and he was just devastating about the legal process and what he sees as the deficits of the legal process. And I took him on robustly on this because I was challenging him. Well, if you feel so strongly about the deficits, and he called it a charade, why are you there? Of course, his defence is he likes defending people down at heel.
He said, I like to stand by the underdog. You put a good question to him. And what about the hundreds of thousands you get for being a barrister? Money means nothing to me.
I did challenge about that.
Goodness, that has to be seen by people who are watching the programme. It's a total contradiction.
That's the way people were thinking. But you see, the thing about Joe is, and this is the redemptive dimension of Joe is, and you can't take this away from him. And I discussed this last night with him. He was on the football field and he saw this guy doubled on his honkers, and he thought he had a rough night, that he was on the beer the night before. And he said, what's wrong with you? He said, were you out last night? And the guy said, no, I have my kidney failure. And Joe said to him, what do you mean? And he said, well, I need a kidney. And Joe said, I'll give you a kidney. Now, he gave him a kidney. He gave the kidney to Shane Finnegan from South Belfast. So that's the redemptive side. Like, he's currently involved in building two hospices. Not one, but two. Fundraising. He's back and forward to the States to raise funds. within the communities, the Irish communities there. So he just doesn't talk about it. He does it. And that's what distinguishes him from an awful lot of us.
Of course, but this is why he's such a confusing character, because we know he is incredibly generous. He is such a giving, sharing, caring guy. But at the same time, he will, for example, in relation to the GAA, he complains about the elite players getting the financial support or the sponsorship or whatever through the Gaelic Players Association.
Yes.
He compares the elite player to the man who puts the white lines on the field or puts the nets up or coaches the under-12s. And that's a very strong argument within the amateur ethos of the GAA. But then Joe, who was an elite player, who won an All-Ireland medal, is working for RTE, getting a fortune as a pundit. So his arguments don't stack up.
Well, I can't discuss his private finances. I don't know how much RTE gives him, but I do know...
Darn sure Joe isn't going down to Donnybrook for free.
That's supposition on your part. I can't substantiate that. I didn't go there with him last night. I did ask him about the integrity of taking money from the Irish Independent Newspaper Group on the grounds that that paper has a very set policy, which has been traditionally to undo republicanism as promoted in Northern Ireland here, and particularly because his father was an assembly member for Sinn Féin and his mother was a Sinn Féin councillor. So this paper has set its face against all that, and here Joe is working for it. So I did challenge him about that, and particularly about taking money from an organisation which is hell-bent on undoing that philosophy, which obviously his parents espoused.
Yeah, and again, he had a good excuse for writing for the
Indo. He came right back at me in with brilliant eloquence, arguing that it's a platform for him to propagate and promote his care about donors and all of that type of thing, and also to articulate his viewpoint on the Gaelic games and Gaelic football. Now, the very interesting thing was, I did take him on to, I challenged him about the feelings and the emotions within the Protestant Unionist community, among many, many of them, when it came to their antipathy and resistance towards the GAA. But he did put forward a very forceful argument when he explained that the first time for him going to Ravenhill was a cultural challenge. And he had to have that experience to realise the normality and the greatness of rugby. And similarly, he said, when he brought Trevor Ringland, the, as he called him, the titan on the rugby field, to a hurling final in Dublin, and when they brought him into the pub and people saw who was there, it was quite a challenge to Trevor, he said, to cope with that change, that cultural atmosphere. But he said, once you get across the barrier, and that was his argument, get to know us on both sides and things change.
Brilliantly articulate.
Brilliantly
articulate. Intelligent guy.
On RTE one Sunday, Dublin was playing, and he said in the studio, live, Dublin, that Dublin team is playing with insouciance. And Spillane said, with what? Pat Spillane, the commentator, felt like he had no clue what insouciance meant. And I was talking to Michael Lister, the presenter of the programme, sometime later, and he said, I had no clue what he was talking about either. Insouciance, you know, what a word to drop in, you know.
One of my favourite comments that he made in relation to being on RTE was when Kieran Donaghy was first playing for Kerry, you know, 6'6", full forward, incredibly gifted
Tyrone
player. Absolutely, a big basketball player. And he said, Kerry have plan A, which is put the ball in high to Donaghy, and plan B is put the ball in higher to Donaghy. So I thought that was a pretty good way of describing plan A and plan B. But to get back to where he sounds, and this is where some of the commentary this morning on the text would be, he sounds contradictory. And in particular, and you pushed him on this one as well, he comes from Dungiven, where the hurling club is called after Kevin Lynch, who died on the hunger strikes.
Yes.
Kevin Lynch was the captain of the hurling team. He makes his argument about why he fully supports the idea of playing for or being associated with Kevin Lynch. And he also says that he wrote an obituary in relation to Martin McGuinness. And while Martin McGuinness was his friend,
you know,
he had great affection for Martin McGuinness. He condemns Martin McGuinness because of the lives that were lost.
He went further. He said in the obituary he couldn't ever forgive Martin McGuinness. And he again and became very emotional, and he welled up talking about the taking of human life. He welled up on camera when he went down this road, the sacredness of human life. And
so how can he? This is the point, and this is what it comes across in some of the text as well. And it's one of the questions that was jumping out at me as I was watching it. How can he be so supportive of the provost in relation to his growing up, and be so critical of Martin McGuinness? How does that matter? Is it yet not another example of Joe being contradictory in what he says?
Well, he has clearly gone through various phases. He did talk about the army coming in and chucking him out of his bed and that type as a child. He then was sent away to board in Armagh College in St Patrick's in Armagh and ended up in Trinity. Now
his family being targeted because his father was a Republican.
His father was a Republican, and I did raise with them the allegations and all the rest that his father his name had been linked to the Clodagh bombing, and of course Mr Brawley, Francis Brawley, has actually spoken very liberally about that and about his experience of having been arrested and questioned about that.
And refuted any suggestion.
And refuted any suggestion. And nothing was ever brought against Mr. Brawley, the father, as a result of that. But Joe painted the picture of the village when he was growing up, and in the aftermath of the killing of Lord Mountbatten, and the sense of people actually almost celebrating. Now, I did ask him very specifically, was there a time in his life when he would have supported what was called the armed struggle by the IRA? And he didn't deny that, but he said when he got to Trinity College, it was just a sea change in his world, because here he was mixing with people from every corner of the world, and to be a Republican, he said, you're almost laughed out of court, and he's pretty consistent on his antipathy towards violence. That was quite consistent in what he was saying.
He is a complex character, as I've said for this is the third time during the short conversation. He's an amazing listen. When he speaks, you do want to turn up the volume. However, one of the things absolutely gobsmacked me, away from politics or anything charitable or legal or anything that Joe is associated with, was his description of being in a shower at one particular moment. I can think of all the footballers down the years in Croke Park who've been in the shower in Croke Park under the Hogan Stand after they've just won the Sam Maguire. I would love to have been in that position. And Joe says he turned to, was it Fergal McCusker?
That's right.
And said, is that it? Is this what it's all about? What sort of man cannot enjoy winning the Sam Maguire?
He said it was the journey that was important.
Surely the moment's what's important. Winning the trophy. Having it to say in 1993, I'm on the All-Ireland winning team.
This is why he was my guest.
Only Joe Brawley could stand in the shower and say, is that it?
This is why he was my guest. This guy's very alternative. Alternative thinker, a challenging guy, and it's an interesting thing. In the Republic of Ireland, this guy is a household name. Now, apart from donating his kidney to Shane Finnegan in South Belfast, little attention had been given to him before that here. He was controversial at the time of coming out robustly defending the name change of the football grounds called after Kevin Lynch, the INLA hunger striker who died. He was robust about that. But he has been relatively unknown, although because I follow GA, I've followed him for years, listening to him on RT. He is a household name in the Republic. I was talking to Darrell Kinnear there from Kerry the other day, and he said he could fill every hall in Kerry. He's that big, and yet he didn't have that profile here. But I bet after last night, Frank, and UTV's coverage last night, he'd be asked to every meeting in this country.
With the exception of Creggan Kickham's club, he will not darken the door of Creggan Kickham's in Antrim. They feel really aggrieved by how he dealt with them in the wake of the Petter Heffernan issue.
I did take him on very robustly on that, because I made the comparison of the expose, what Pather said and what he tended to lend credence to about the way that club behaved when it came to Pather Hafren, who was affiliated with the club and then was joined the PSNI and then ended up a victim of dissident republicanism and lost his leg.
And the club refute any association.
Of course they do.
And Joe,
Joe's
words were painful towards that club that day in that newspaper.
Well, the interesting thing about that, and you've been quite editorial on this in a sense. The interesting thing about that, I did ask Joe about that off air, and he has been back to that club. I understand with I think it was with the on the 14s or on the 12s from St Bridges in South Belfast. He has been back, I think, in that club with the kids. So maybe there's more of an overture there than you and I might think. But I do think he did tell me that he's been back there since, you know. But he is a very challenging entertainer.
Can't see them doing their annual dinner.
Well, I can't arbitrate for that. But so far, anything like the reaction on Twitter last night, it was quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. The number of people who had something to say. It was so entertaining.
Totally. He's an amazingly talented, gifted, interesting individual. There is no question. But is he controversial? There's a capital C with that. A capital C.
Zany and quirky.
The length and breadth of the land. And also a brilliant player in his day as well. And giving back to, we should emphasise, he is giving back to the GAA as well as a volunteer with the likes of the under 12s and so on and so forth. And who knows what he's getting of RTE. Right. Eamon, thanks for joining us this morning. Thank
not
you.
Thank you very much.
Darn sure he's well and truly looked after. Right. 90 333 105 077 666 105 105. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in.